chapter 5, and we're going to read from verse 21. When Jesus had again crossed over by boat to the other side of the lake, a large crowd gathered around him while he was by the lake. Then one of the synagogue rulers, named Jairus, came there. Seeing Jesus, he fell at his feet and pleaded earnestly with him, "My little daughter is dying. Please come and put your hands on her so that she will be healed and live." So Jesus went with him. A large crowd followed and pressed around him. And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse. When she heard about Jesus, she came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, "If I just touch his clothes, I will be healed." Immediately her bleeding stopped, and she felt in her body that she was freed from her suffering. At once Jesus realized that power had gone out from him. He turned around in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my clothes?" "You see the people crowding against you," his disciples answered, "and yet you ask, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet and, trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, "Daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering." While Jesus was still speaking, some men came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue ruler. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Ignoring what they said, Jesus told the synagogue ruler, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. And when they came to the home of the synagogue ruler, Jesus saw a commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went in and said to them, "Why all this commotion and wailing? The child is dead, not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talita kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." Immediately, the girl stood up and walked around. She was 12 years old. At this, they were completely astonished. He gave strict orders not to let anyone know about this and told them to give her something to eat. Just so far this evening. Let's just bow our heads in a word of prayer. Father God, thank you again for this evening and for this time that we've had already to worship and to praise you through song. Lord, as we come around your word now, we pray that our worship would continue as we hear what you have to tell us this evening through your word. We ask that you would give us ears to hear and hearts to believe. In Jesus' name, amen. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, we read quite a well-known verse. Jesus is the author and perfecter of our faith. Now, we know that Jesus is the author of our faith. We can come to terms with that when we think in our minds about it. He is the one that our faith originates in. Without Jesus, we would have nothing to believe. We would have no hope to believe in. And so, being the author of our faith, we can come to terms with that, can't we? But when we come to this description of Jesus as the perfecter of our faith, that's a little bit more tricky to handle. First of all, what does Jesus say about our faith when he tells us that he is the perfecter of our faith? Is our faith not perfect? I mean, surely we either have faith or we don't have faith. What does it mean that Jesus perfects our faith? Well, the Greek word for perfecta means to carry it through to completion. In other words, our faith in its imperfection is not a complete faith. It's a faith that needs to be strengthened. It needs to be completed. It needs to be perfected. I think any of us who have walked with Jesus for some time will know that we've had moments in our lives where the imperfection of our faith or the incompleteness of our faith has been quite evident. We have had moments and we've gone through certain situations and circumstances where we've cried out to the Lord, give us more faith, or help our unbelief, strengthen our faith, because at the moment our faith is wobbling, is not as strong as we thought it was. And so when we come to Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, we're very grateful that Jesus says, I am the one who's the perfecter of our faith, the one who will give us strength, the one who will see our faith through to completion, through those times and situations where our faith doesn't seem to be so complete. And therefore, we can conclude this evening that Jesus, being the perfecter of our faith, is in the business of making our faith complete each and every day as we walk in faith in Him. We see this so wonderfully illustrated in the passage that we've read this evening. This passage which tells us of two stories of faith. One that is almost a picture for us of a perfect faith, a faith that we should all be striving towards, and another faith that was imperfect, that Jesus came along and perfected, brought it more and more to completion in this person's life. And so let's have a look at this, first of all, this faith that Jesus commends here in our passage, this faith of this lady. Verse 25 says that this lady had been bleeding for 12 years continuously. The hemorrhaging from her menstrual cycle had not stopped for 12 years, 144 months of discomfort, 144 months of pain, of distress. Verse 26 tells us that she had seen numerous doctors. She had gone through all the tests that were there, and still nothing could help stop this bleeding, this discomfort, this pain that she experienced day by day. On top of that, she had spent all her money on doctors and the tests and the medicine. She was as broke as she could be. She had nothing left. By this stage, she was probably heavily reliant on her family to take care of her. And if she didn't have family, she was begging to survive. But it gets even more desperate for this lady. For her hemorrhaging rendered her ceremonially unclean according to the Levitical law of the day. And therefore she was not allowed to touch anybody or be touched until her bleeding had stopped. She was not allowed to go to worship in the temple. She had to remain away from society. Basically, she was ostracized from everything that was familiar to her, everything that she desired to do, she was not allowed to do. But in this desperate situation that this lady found herself in, we found this lady showing incredible faith. Faith that Jesus points us all to this evening, that this is the faith that He desires of us. Verse 27 says to us that after experiencing all this discomfort and pain and agony for 12 years, she came to hear about this man, Jesus. She came to hear about the miracles that He performed. She came to hear about the things that He claimed to be and taught. And verse 27 says that when she heard this, she acted upon what she heard in faith. She believed that maybe Jesus could do what the doctors could not do and bring about healing in her body. And so she acted upon this faith. And she went to Jesus. The Bible tells us that she came behind Jesus and his disciples, and she touched his cloak. She touched his cloak. Why did she do that? Well, the scriptures again tell us. She had belief in Jesus that just a touch of his cloak would unleash the power of this godly man, and that would cause healing in her life. And it did. The Bible tells us that at that very moment, and Mark is very accurate here, he says, immediately the bleeding stopped. Immediately a new sense of health and vigor rushed through her veins. And she could know that she was well again. But the author goes on to tell us that Jesus suddenly points us to this faith that this woman had as the faith that he desires that we have. A faith that not only hears and trusts who Jesus is, but acts upon it. Mark tells us that Jesus begins looking for this lady of faith. "Who touched me?" he says. The disciples respond, "Jesus, come on. There's a large crowd around you. They're pressing up against you. We're on our way to this person's home, and people are knocking up against you all the time. How can you ask that question, 'Who touched me?'" But Jesus is adamant. He wants to know who touched him, because it's not a touch of the crowd pressing up against him, but it's a touch of faith that has resulted in power being unleashed from who he is. And so he continues to search for this person who's expressed this faith in him. This woman, seeing that Jesus is searching for this person who has touched him, and knowing that she's the one that has had incredible life change because of her faith in Jesus, comes before Jesus and unveils her faith, not only to Jesus, but to all around her. Years of keeping herself away from people, years of feeling humiliated, years of feeling this discomfort and pain, now having the boldness to come before Jesus, fall at his feet like a servant would do a master, and unveils her life story. Tells him about the discomfort and pain she was experiencing. Tells him about what she had heard of who he claimed to be. Tells him of her faith that responded by coming to touch just his cloak. How does Jesus respond? Again, he commends her faith and it says, "Daughter, your faith has healed you." I want you to notice that Jesus could have said, "Daughter, my power has healed you." But he doesn't. In that moment, he points us to her faith that acted upon what she had heard and trusted in Jesus. "Your faith has healed you." This is the faith that Jesus is looking for from you and I. But may I suggest that so often we fall short of this kind of faith. Maybe it's hard for us to identify with this woman this evening. Because we know the scriptures, we are taught from it in our Bible studies, in our home fellowship groups, on a Sunday evening, Sunday morning. We know who Jesus is. We know what the scriptures say of how we ought to respond to who he is. But how often do we find ourselves responding in the kind of faith of this lady, acting upon, behaving the way Jesus wants us to behave in response to who he is and what he has promised us? Dare I say, maybe we could identify more with the second story or the second person of faith here in this passage this evening. This man named Jairus. Jairus was a synagogue ruler. not known to be all that friendly towards Jesus. In fact, to Jairus, Jesus was an outsider, one who was accused of heresy by the other synagogue and Jewish leaders and rulers. Jesus previously used Jairus' synagogue, and it resulted in a very controversial time. You can read about that in chapter 3 of Mark's Gospel, where Jairus witnesses Jesus heal a man with a shriveled hand on the Sabbath, and how that causes a stir amongst the religious leaders of the day. And so Jairus was probably one who kept his distance from Jesus. After all, he was the one who put the order of service together for the Sabbath worship. He was the one who got the preachers and the readers of the Torah together. He was the one that made sure that the order of service was in accordance with tradition of the Jewish religion. And so he kind of needed to distance himself from this man who did the opposite. The man who was accused of heretical teaching. But Jairus, being the synagogue ruler, was there that day when Jesus preached and taught about who he was as the Son of God, and how he was the one whom the scriptures pointed to as the Messiah, the one to rescue us from our sin and the rebellion that we show towards God. Jairus knew this, yet he still responded as one who distanced himself from Jesus. However, we go on to read that Jairus also found himself in a desperate situation. His 12-year-old daughter was sick, very sick. In fact, on the brink of death. One could imagine that Jairus also had been from one doctor to the next doctor. He had also spent a lot of money on medicine and the tests in order to help his only daughter. But nothing had helped. And when Jesus came into the region again, he must have recalled that moment when he sat in that synagogue and watched Jesus heal that man with a shriveled hand. He must have recalled when people mentioned to him that Jesus was in the vicinity of the many miracles that he had heard that Jesus had performed. And in that moment, he believed that maybe Jesus could heal his daughter. Maybe Jesus could do what the doctors could not do and bring healing to his dying daughter. His faith wasn't perfect. His faith was probably a faith of convenience because he wanted Jesus to do something for his daughter's situation, which seemed so hopeless at that time. He wanted Jesus to step in to maybe relieve the pain and the agony he was going through as a father, seeing his daughter suffering so much. His faith wasn't perfect. But Jesus also knew that. Jesus could see that. And Jesus wanted to see his faith become perfected, become completed. He desired to see Jairus come to know Jesus for who he was and claimed to be, and to trust and depend on that, not only in circumstances that were desperate for his convenience sake, but come to enjoy a personal and intimate relationship with him. And so Jesus gets about his work of perfecting Jairus' faith. We see Jesus use this lady who had been bleeding for 12 years. You see, Jairus comes to Jesus and knows that his daughter has only a few moments to live. There's not much time for his daughter. The crowd's pressing on Jesus, and Jairus is almost dragging Jesus to his home because he knows that his daughter's depending on him. Without Jairus getting Jesus to his daughter, his daughter stood very little hope. But the crowd was making it difficult. I mean, there were no police cars, no sirens, no ambulances, no blue light brigade to get Jesus quickly to the home. On top of the struggle they faced with the crowd, Jesus and Jairus' progress is further hindered by this lady who has touched Jesus' cloak. This lady who maybe whose circumstances could have just waited a few more moments. But no, valuable time is being spent by Jesus now addressing this lady's situation. Precious seconds are being wasted in Jairus' mind. His little girl is depending on him, depending on Jesus. But there's this interruption, there's this delay. While Jesus speaks with this lady and calls her his daughter, all Jairus could think of, what about my daughter? What about my daughter that needs you, Jesus? And we read on that before Jesus finishes speaking with this lady, out from the crowd appear friends of Jairus. They come from Jairus' home to bring him the devastating news that the delay has resulted in his daughter dying. Come home, Jairus, come home. Don't worry anymore. Don't bother the teacher anymore. He can't do anything for her now. Hope is gone. She's dead. Jairus' faith is at a real crossroads. He came to Jesus believing that Jesus could heal her daughter, his daughter. But now, her daughter's dead. Now he could either return home or he could choose to believe whom Jesus claims he is, the Son of God, the one that could do the impossible, the one that could raise his daughter from the dead. Jesus wanted Jairus to have this perfect faith. He wanted his weak, feeble faith of convenience, maybe, to be a completed faith, to be a faith that was strengthened, to be a faith that is brought into relationship with him. And so he says to Jairus, don't be afraid, Jairus. Just believe. Just believe. Believe in who I am, Jairus. Believe in what you've heard me teach about myself in the scriptures at your synagogue, Jairus. Believe. Believe in me. Well, it seems that Jairus did choose to believe in Jesus, because Jesus goes along with him to his home and takes with him three of his disciples. And we read there that as they come to Jairus' home, we find that they are faced with the reality of the situation that Jairus faced, the death of his daughter. It couldn't have been easy for Jairus to believe in those moments. It couldn't have been easy as he walked in on many mourners crying and wailing because of the death of his daughter. It couldn't have been easy for Jairus to just believe in Jesus. When he went to enter his home and saw his wife distraught because of their little child's death, his little precious girl was gone. It couldn't have been easy for Jairus to believe when Jesus chased everybody out the house and said, she's not dead, she's just asleep. I mean, these were professional mourners. They knew a dead body when they saw a dead body. But Jesus saw the little girl from God's perspective, just asleep, waiting for Jesus to wake her up so that Jairus would believe. And so Jesus, asking Jairus to believe the same, took the little girl's hand and said to her, Talitha kum, little girl, I say to you, get up. And this 12-year-old little girl, Mark says, immediately stood up and walked around. And as the people in the room saw this, they were completely astonished. Why? Because Jesus had done the impossible. He had shown himself to be the one whom he claimed to be. And he taught Jairus what he taught all those people with that lady earlier, of how we ought to believe in him. respond to what we hear and what we see in Jesus by behaving and living according to our belief. Not just a faith of convenience. Not just a faith that is used by us as a crutch to get through life. But a faith that acts upon who Jesus is all the time. A faith that is in relationship with Him. We see Jairus' imperfect faith perfected by Jesus. As He doesn't heal his daughter, but rather raises her to new life. And in those moments, Jairus sees Jesus for whom he really is, and his faith is complete. Friends, Jesus is in the business of completing our faith, perfecting our faith, making our faith stronger and stronger in Him, so that we might find great joy, great abundant life, which He promises us. He perfected Jairus' faith and continued to do so. He promises to perfect your faith and my faith and continues to do so until faith gives way to sight, when we will be with Him forever. He is the perfecter of our faith because He is the one who can perfect our faith. The challenge for you and I today in response to Jesus as the perfecter of our faith is not to see our faith as one that needs perfecting, but rather to see Him as the one who can and who is able to help us through those desperate times, to help us choose to believe that Jesus is the one whom He says He is. The challenge for us is, will we trust Jesus with perfecting our faith in those moments when our faith wobbles or our faith seems weak? Jesus often perfects our faith through desperate times, through desperate situations, when our faith is rocked, when our faith does wobble, when our faith does want to cry out to God and say, help my unbelief, because in this situation I can't see anything. It's when we find ourselves going through some really difficult times in our lives that Jesus is there working His perfection out in our faith. Not that He causes those difficult situations in our lives. Often we're responsible for those. But rather that He chooses to use those situations to perfect, to complete our faith in Him. It's strange, isn't it? Strange to me that Jesus asks of us when our faith is weak to choose to believe and have our faith strengthened in Him. But that's how He works. Maybe you're going through one of those desperate times in your life when your faith does seem weak, when your faith is floundering. How will you respond to the perfecting power of Jesus Christ for your faith? Will you trust Him? Will you believe in those moments and allow Him to show you His perfecting power in your life? Maybe you're here this evening and your faith is just a faith of convenience. You just want Jesus to be a crutch in your life when you go through those moments when life is too unbearable. I need something to lean on. And you choose Jesus. Will you allow Jesus in those moments to work His power, to work His authority, so that He might perfect your faith? Maybe you're here this evening and all is hunky-dory in your life. Everything's going according to your script. Let me suggest to you that now is the time more than ever that we should be praying and asking God to strengthen our faith. Because those times when we find ourselves in desperation, in situations that are tough, are just around the corner. And we're going to be needing to hold on to Jesus as the author and perfecter of our faith in those times. Friends, we can be encouraged. Even though we have weak faith tonight, even though maybe our faith is not complete, that Jesus is in the perfecting business of our faith? Will you trust him for that perfecting work in your life? Let's pray together.